Hello there. Have you ever experienced political pressures inside of a local church situation where it seemed like almost a political spirit was involved with decision making and you got stung by it? Or how about in the workplace, or you know, when you're out and about and it just seems that there was a political control that you had no handle on, you had no way to stop it? We call that the political spirit. It's not isolated to government. We're not talking about government positions or anything like that. We're talking about a spirit that Jesus taught about. He said, beware of this spirit. And we have an expert on the subject who has had a lot of revelation, a prophet of God, Fasil Malik. Fasil, it's wonderful to have you with us. And you're the author of the book called The Political Spirit. And I think that if you've been a Christian for very long, you've probably met up with this spirit somewhere yes. along the line, because Jesus said to beware of it, so there must be a reason why. But why did you write this book? I mean, that is, I don't think I know of another book on the political spirit.
No, it was probably, would have been a tough decision to write a book like that, right? But really, God spoke to me and said that if the North American church in particular doesn't deal with the political spirit in their own backyard, they won't have the earned authority to deal with the nation of Islam when it comes in full force. And basically, he was showing me how if we don't conquer this thing, Islam is going to prevail in all those other nations, in the Western nations, which is, you know, a sobering thought, because that's kind of what's happening in, for example, England and Europe and other parts of the world. And so that was the primary reason. And the secondary reason was God said, I want to give a big picture
right.
to what is the opposition that is opposing the establishment of my government in the midst of my people, where I can sit and dwell and reign through them and rule through them and establish the preparation of my return.
Right.
And so that's the foundation behind the book.
Wow. Well, you know, I think that everybody, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, has met up with this particular spirit, the way it operates, because it tries to control, and most often controlling against the will of God. That's its mandate. And with Islam in particular, it is a religious system, so it's a religious spirit, but it's a political system as well. So Jesus said, beware, and you might want to read that scripture, but he said, beware of those two entities because they'll cause you trouble. So
yeah, you're talking about Mark 8:15, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And Herod is where we get the realization of the political spirit. And his connection to Islam is Herod is actually a descendant of Esau.
Really?
And Esau's the one through which terrorism comes from in Islam. So, you know, the Herodian spirit or the political spirit is really the second face of terrorism, except it's very subtle. It's more lethal, but it's very subtle. It doesn't look right. like it's trying to kill or destroy, like you mentioned, but it looks good while it does it. And that's really the problem that we have to encounter and face. And Jesus warned his disciples. He warned us about it. The entire church in the book of Acts dealt with the spirit. But until the spirit was literally conquered in the book of Acts, that's when things began to change. And the gospel went all over the world. And apostolic authority began to move forward. And things began to be established in the church and around the world.
We'll unpack that for us, okay? So let's talk about Herod. And because it's very visible in the scripture where this political spirit was moving, how it was operating, how it was influencing. So why don't you share that and then take it into Acts where the church rose up against that spirit?
Well, it really, Herod was a builder. So first of all, he was a multifaceted personality. He loved to build. He was a politician. He was also someone that showed himself as being religious. In other words, he had no real alliance or loyalty to anything. His alliance would be made on the basis of what would benefit him. So that's one of the first characteristics of this type of spirit. It always makes alliances. For lack of a better term, it gets in bed with anybody it has to forward a hidden agenda.
Wow.
Even sociologists and psychologists refer to something called a Machiavellian intelligence, mm-hmm. which they say is a social intelligence, which there has to be two things in operation to get that merit. Number one, you have to have no moral compass. You have to operate in deception, and you have to be able to form alliances to forward a hidden agenda.
Wow.
So the world
recognizes
this.
We can see that everywhere in the world,
yes,
right?
Yes, we can.
And in the church, actually, too.
We can. Yeah. We have to be honest, you know, and that's what he said. The religion was the hypocrisy, but
right.
we have to confront this thing. And it's also a governing spirit.
Come on.
It is the thing that is a false governing spirit that will always set up and rear its head before true government of the kingdom is actually established. So if
Come
anybody's
on.
watching watching this and they've gone through difficult times. The reason is, it's because destiny's connected to it. God's working out a corporate or sovereign purpose, and this spirit will rear its head and try to keep you busy. Sometimes it will throw the religious spirit at you, and you'll spend your energy fighting the religious spirit.
Right.
But that will just keep you in the ring busy and not focus on the strong man or the chief spirit, which is this Herodian political spirit.
Wow.
And so often in the last several years, we've heard about the Jezebel spirit and the religious spirit, and people wonder what that's all about. But in reality, those are just pawns.
Right.
And the chief operating spirit behind it is this Herodian political spirit. I'll give you an example. Herod in Matthew 2 hears about these wise men that are coming into Jerusalem.
Right.
And he's a king. And so he goes and calls a meeting with the religious elite of his day. He calls the church, in other words. He meets with the Pharisees. He meets with them and says, "Would you please tell me what the prophets say about where the Messiah would be born?" And the religious elite are like, wow, the government, the political leader of the day is interested in what the Bible says. But he had a hidden agenda. So they tell him, this is where the Messiah is going to be born. And he says, okay, thank you very much. Then he calls another secret meeting with the wise men. And he knows enough that they're innocent people. And he says to them, oh, I know you're coming to worship this king. Listen, I give you full freedom. Go search for this king that you're looking for. But when you find him, would you let me know?
Because I want to
come
too.
And worship him too. But we know that wasn't true. He didn't want to worship him.
That was a lie.
He wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
And so, but you see the politics going on, representing yourself one way or another.
That's so good. Hey, what a clear picture.
It's a clear picture. And you know, another thing I want to really caution, even prophetic people. The political spirit will always take advantage of prophetic people or prophets in particular. And that's why Herod was interested in what the real prophets were saying. So this spirit doesn't resist what the prophets are saying. In fact, it wants to know what the prophets are saying so it can twist and turn around what the prophets are saying and use it to forward a hidden, hideous agenda. This is the personality of this thing. Again, we're not talking about individual people. We're talking about a spiritual attitude, mindset, spirit that they yield themselves over to and embody this type of activity. So that's one example of Herod.
God protected the wise men from that spirit.
He did.
He'll protect us today.
He will. Because these wise men were honest in their heart, transparent with God, and he warned them in a dream.
And they were seekers.
And that's good news for the pure in heart, right?
Yeah, exactly. I believe that we are going to have a heads up because they got a heads up.
Yes.
They were warned in the dream. God gave them the heads up and said, "Woo, you know, you don't want to go here." And so they just went the way of the Lord, the way that the Lord led them. And they maneuvered around that political spirit and made Herod mad.
It did. And we know what he tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God even warned Joseph in a dream to take Jesus into Egypt. And Herod at that time killed every child, any young boy under the age of two, every child. And so Jesus' life was preserved. He had to walk away from that situation. And that's another powerful point.
Yeah. Do you think all the abortions of today is a political agenda of the enemy?
Absolutely. It's a sign of death because this spirit has only one agenda, and that is really to kill.
Right.
But it wants to kill and look good while it's doing it. That's what the difference is about the spirit.
To kill and look good while it's doing it. Wow.
That's the hidden agenda. And usually you will not know it's operating because you can't see it. It looks so good. Herod had a great personality. He was very good with the church, with the Pharisees. He was great with, you know, other people in society. He was a builder. He hired all the Levites in a way of trying to bribe them. So I'm going to expand the great temple, Herod's temple.
Right.
And he expanded the temple, but he knew to hire the Levites. He paid them top dollar.
Yeah.
But that was also making alliances. He would marry somebody just for the sake of making an alliance with that group or that community so that he could have influence. I mean, there was absolutely no rules here.
Like a lust for power behind that spirit, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a lust for power, and it's a fear of losing power also. Mm-hmm. Because Herod is, why would Herod be afraid of this young baby?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's king, but the real reason behind it was that when Jesus showed up, he was the seed of Jacob. And the seed of Jacob showed up, and the seed of Esau and Herod arose, desiring to kill him.
Wow. So translated to today, I mean, this is an amazing message for intercessors. And if you're an intercessor watching this right now, this is an important message for you to take hold of, because even when we're praying for leaders, if they're church leaders or city leaders, business leaders, government leaders of nations, we are taught in Scripture to pray for them. One of the things that we need to pray for them in is that they'll be free of this political spirit, that they can operate and function in their office without hindrance of this spirit, because otherwise that spirit will not only oppress them and discourage them, but could even use them. And so we want to be really diligent as the body of Christ and pray for our leaders, because this spirit targets leaders.
It does, and you know what? And that's where the prayer is so important, because the Bible says if we pray first and foremost for our leaders, lift them up, undergird them, support them, if we pray for them, we actually cause them to be lifted up higher so God can correct them and deal with them, align them, speak to them. That's the power of a body. We can cause the head to have a better view, because
right.
by aligning ourselves under the head, it gives the head a better view. And that's where God can begin to give concepts and understanding and revelation. And I believe many leaders are probably watching right now.
Right.
And you're hearing this for the first time, maybe, and you're saying, yes, I've been through this. You know, and what are some symptoms of the political spirit? Just one or two if I can give you real quick. And that
yeah.
is the political spirit makes you feel paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to live and you don't want to die. It's not like the Jezebel spirit
right.
that you want to die and you're discouraged. It's like you don't want to live and you don't want to die. That's
right.
one of the key symptoms. You feel like quitting, but you don't know how. You want to give up. And I just want to encourage you right now that God wants to strengthen you and encourage you as we go through the rest of what we're talking about.
Wow. Well, we're going to find out a lot more about the workings of the spirit, how to walk free of it, and how to conquer it when we see it in action right after the break.
Breaker Team Partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Purchase the third edition of Decree and see your life transformed by the spoken word of God. Receive His promises today. Call 866-980-5464 or visit xpministries.com to order now.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
We have Fazil Malik as our guest here today talking about the political spirit, and that's the name of your book, and we're excited. I'm really excited about this topic. In fact, I feel this warrior nature rising up on the inside of me that I just want to go conquer that thing and expose it and, you know, set people free from it. So actually that happened. We have a model for conquering this thing in the book of Acts.
We sure do. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, Herod, which is Herod the Great's grandson.
Right.
So this is two generations later. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. He conquered the spirit. And now his apostles are faced and confronted by the same spirit, and they have to conquer it too in order to fulfill their assignment and have victory. And so what happens in Acts 12
Whoa,
is...
Break.
Okay, all right.
Wow, I'm getting overload here. So would you say, Fasil, that everyone, as they step into their destiny, is going to meet up with this spirit and must conquer it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It is impossible for you to fulfill your divine assignment on earth without conquering
this spirit.
That spirit. And that's why, in fact, when Jesus said in Mark 8:15, beware of the leaven of Herod,
mm-hmm.
Peter was on that boat. He got on a boat and said that to him. And Peter was the one in Acts 12 that was going to be taken by this spirit when Herod killed James.
Wow.
And Peter now, the church is in a difficult situation, and then he arrests Peter because he likes the fact that Jewish people are happy with him. So again, favor, reputation,
right.
honor that he's getting, a false form of honor. He says, oh, you guys like this? Okay, I'll kill Peter too. So he arrests
right.
Peter, puts him in prison, and his plan is to kill him. But in that, what happens is an angel of the Lord comes.
Mm-hmm.
And he delivers Peter out of the prison, walks him out of that gate. The gate's open. The guards are standing there, but they don't see Peter walking with an angel. Peter himself is wondering, is this a vision or is this real? And he walks out and he realizes, God has truly delivered me from the hand of Herod.
Wow.
And he goes to the
And it's so important that we do not compromise when that spirit comes. I was just out for lunch today. We were having a conversation, and someone shared a testimony about a leader that they knew who was a pastor of a large church that was being visited by God. There was a massive move of the Spirit. And someone who had been giving a lot of money to the church for lots of different things to fix the church up and look after different programs, came to them and said, I don't like this move of God. I'm going to give you $300,000, but stop this move. Tell God to go somewhere else. Now, that's got to be lined with some kind of a political spirit. And the pastor passed the test.
He sure did.
Because he said, I'm not taking that. You're going to go. God's not going to go. You are going to go. And the gentleman was upset and left the church, and the move carried on. But he had to pass that test. And so you're saying that before we go into our fulfilled destiny, and probably before each new level that God brings us to, we'll meet up with His Spirit.
Absolutely. And that's a prime example. We can't compromise, because this Spirit wants to make you have no moral compass. It's all about compromise. In fact, it doesn't even see compromise. It's just about getting your hidden agenda accomplished, whatever the cost is. Whereas we're not called to do it that way. We're called to serve God. We're called to have a fear and a reverence in our heart for Him.
Right.
God's assignment in our life is a sovereign expression of His work in through us. And so we want to be able to pass those tests. And we are often confronted. And often the way you pass that test is by not compromising, walking in love, walking in humility, forgiving the people that are saying things about you. And also, this spirit is a mocking spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's something very key. Because people that are sensing that they're being mocked, if you're being mocked, this spirit is behind the scenes. And when we're mocked, it really hurts.
Right.
You know, I've been mocked several times in my life, you know, and it just really hits you hard. But when you realize what it is, it's a mocking spirit. And that's why Herod mocked Jesus. Do you remember he mocked him?
Right.
It's a mocking spirit. And whenever there's mocking, that's part of another test we got to pass. The mocking is coming because of a political spirit. Don't engage. Don't get involved in the battle. Don't get into the ring, so to speak. But stay back and recognize this is a mocking spirit trying to mock me, but mock God who's called me.
And the other thing, I think that spirit, because I've seen this happen, is it fuels agendas. It kind of injects them into the mind, saying, oh, do this because it'll be for your benefit. Do that because you'll go to the next place. But it's without God. It's just like a good idea, but not a God idea, right? And then people get in these swirls, and they find out that they're far from God because they didn't go God's way. It got them off track. But when you avoid a political spirit, you are dead to yourself. You're living for God. Right. You're not living for yourself or what the world can give you, what people can give you, what money can give you. You're living for the pleasure of God.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Patricia, because the breeding ground for this spirit to take a hold of anybody as a pawn, really, is jealousy. That's one of the major important breeding grounds, selfish ambition, like you're referring to, being selfless rather than selfish ambition, because it's looking for a hook in you. It's looking for ambition in you. It's looking for jealousy in you, which it will try to use, because it was for envy that they put him on the cross, the Pharisees and scribes. And Herod was behind all that too.
Right.
And so those are some of the things we got to watch for in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to give ground to that type of thinking, that mentality.
Or pride.
All these things, you know, are ways that this spirit tries to gain access. One of the characteristics are that you don't always see it operating.
Right.
It takes spiritual discerning to recognize it. The Holy Spirit will open our eyes and show us that's a political spirit operating behind the scenes.
Right.
And that's also very key.
Right. Oh, this is so good. So, the Christians in the book of Acts, they overcame.
They did. What happens is that Peter comes home to that church. Remember, he comes out of prison. They're praying for him. Yeah. They're surprised to see him. Yeah. They're astonished. They don't even believe it's him at first. And then they realize, okay, it is actually him. And then what happens is that Herod goes up and gives a great speech. And the people call him. He had a media blitz. And so he gives a great speech. That's what he had to do, right?
Yeah.
And in this great speech, people say he's got the voice of a God, not a voice of man.
Right.
And Herod takes the glory. He doesn't give glory to the higher seat of authority. And as a result, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord comes and strikes him dead. Could it be the same angel of the Lord that freed Peter from prison and delivered him from the hand of Herod? Now, here's what happens. The minute Herod is dead, now this is prophetic and symbolic, the minute the head behind this dies, Acts 13 takes place, which is the first gathering in the church of Antioch of Syria, where there's prophets and teachers, and this is the first place Christians are recognized as Christians. It's a place where there's the first commissioning of apostles from heaven, where Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, commissions Apostle Paul and Barnabas and sends them onto their assignment. Right after Herod is killed, apostolic government starts
Woo-hoo!
To be established.
This
and they go
awesome.
To Cyprus. And Cyprus was the land that Barnabas sold his field and brought it in Acts 4, laid it at the apostles' feet. And guess what? From that point on, Cyprus opened up to them. And
awesome.
Even today, Cyprus is the one place in the world where the most media translation gets taken place for our program, Christian programming, to go to the Middle East and Asia. 2,000 years later, we're reaping from the harvest of what Barnabas sowed and the commissioning of Paul and Barnabas into that island. And as a result of that, proconsul and senator getting saved.
Wow. This is amazing. Well, I always know that after a season of warfare, there's promotion. If you walk with the Lord, because you'll be tested in a time of warfare,
yes.
when the going gets tough, the enemy's going to test everything in you. He's going to try to make you fall in the fiber of your character, the
yes.
fiber of your being. But when you stand with God and say, Lord, I'm alive for you. I live for you. You're the reason why I'm here. You're all that I care about. And you go with him. Then after the season of testing, there's promotion. And Jesus actually experienced that in the wilderness.
Yes.
He was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He then became hungry. But after he came out of that wilderness, after he passed all the temptations during the fasting,
yes.
He then went into Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and everything accelerated, everything opened up, but he had to conquer and he had to pass that test. And you know, I just believe that there's some of you watching right now that you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm in a test right now. I'm in a horrific test, just like what Fasil talked about. I am in that place right now. This is an exciting hour for you because you're going to overcome. You're going to conquer. You're going to win the battle. You are going to be exalted into a promoted place in the Spirit. Once this thing is over, you will win. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We'll be right back.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Purchase the third edition of Decree and see your life transformed by the spoken word of God. Receive His promises today. Call 866-980-5464 or visit xpministries.com to order now.
I believe you're watching and you're actually called to be an apostle. And you're afraid to admit that because people around you have all these titles and you have a political spirit that is opposing you and you just want to give up on the call of God. You don't want to do it anymore. But I want to encourage you with this verse in 1 Corinthians 3:19 that God will take the wise in their own craftiness. This is a crafty, cunning spirit that is opposing you. You trust God, don't compromise, and let God take care of the wise in their own craftiness. He's going to turn the tables for you and don't be ashamed of what God's called you to do.
There's a woman watching right now, and you received a revelation from the Lord, and it was actually confirmed by three different witnesses, by really clear witnesses, and established as a true revelation of the Lord. You went and took it to your church leaders, and they just have been trampling on it like crazy. And you were jarred because you just thought that they were going to love it. You thought that they were going to embrace it and everything was going to be great. And your soul is crushed, absolutely crushed. The Lord wants you to know that you are not dealing with flesh and blood. You are battling against powers in the darkness. There are political spirits that are working against you. It's not a flesh and blood battle. And He is really pleased with you. Spend yourself on Him. Worship Him, draw close to Him, lay everything on the altar, and you're going to see things turn around for you.
You're watching this right now and you've been convicted by the discussion of what's going on, and you've identified that you've been operating or yielding yourself over to this type of mentality and spirit, and there's been lots of ambition in you and lots of jealousy, and those are the two words that really touched your heart, really pierced your heart is a better word, and you're crying out to God right now. You're asking for forgiveness. I just want to pray with you, Father. I just pray right now that you continue to open the eyes of this person. Let them see what has gone on and grant them repentance, forgiveness, and heal their heart, and let them walk in freedom, walk in the spirit of wisdom, walk in the counsel of God, and trust you to accomplish your sovereign purpose in their life. I urge you to continue seeking after the Lord. Get the hold of this book, read it, and let it help change your life as you continue into the next season of your journey.
I see someone right now that you have been in political office, but oh, wow, did you ever get beaten up big time. You went in there with such a heart. You were going to help the region, help the people. You had such a good heart, and you had big dreams to accomplish it. And it actually was so alive on the inside of you that you had absolute confidence that you could achieve what you set out to do. But then the spirit of the political spirit came and bashed you big time and left you beaten up. You didn't know it was a political spirit. It came through emails, letters, confrontations. It came on every side and left you like dying on the Jericho Road. The Lord wants you to know that healing is coming because you're still bruised from that. You've never recovered from that. It traumatized you. But the Lord is going to heal you. In fact, right now, in the name of Jesus, we loose healing into your life right now in Jesus' name. And the Lord says, you're not finished yet. And you're saying, I would never go back there. You don't have to go back there. You just have to follow Jesus because he has a destiny for you to fulfill. You are going to overcome that spirit that attacked you. You will overcome it, and you are going into promotion in life. It's not over till it's over.
I believe you're a business person watching, and you've gone through a political scandal in your workplace, and you're concerned about what's going to happen. And I believe a decision's about to be made in the next 24 to 48 hours. And God wants you to know, be at rest, be encouraged, do not be concerned. This is a political strategy against you. Just trust God, and he will let you leave that company with silver and gold, and he'll promote you into the next season of your life.
We want to thank you so much for joining us on today's program. It was fantastic. You're an overcomer. We are overcoming this spirit. It can't touch us because we're in Christ. We are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Remember this one thing in all of your battles and all of the warfare, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time, okay?
Purchase the third edition of Decree and see your life transformed by the spoken word of God. Receive his promises today. Call 866-980-5464 or visit xpministries.com to order now.